on Triple J.
Hello, dear listener.
How are you?
Has Saffron stolen Dear Listener for everyone?
I didn't know that was his thing.
What?
Oh.
You've never listened to his show, have you?
Nah.
Have you?
No, it's on Sunday nights. Are you kidding me? What are you doing on Sunday nights?
I listen to the podcast, man.
When? No one has time for podcasts.
Like a dear listener is listening to
it. People who listen to podcasts are losers.
Oh, shut up.
Kidding. Hello. Welcome.
Yeah. We got brand new music from Peking Duck, a song called Say My Name, which is an odd phrase generally because I don't reckon I've ever said it.
Do you mean?
Like in a sexual context or otherwise. I reckon?
I'm going to start saying it in non-sexual contexts.
Hey, come, if you're going to address me properly, say my name.
There'd be good times to say it when you know that someone doesn't know your name and they go, g'day, mate. And you just go, say my name.
Say my name. No, we're not
say
not letting you leave until you say my name.
Say it.
Anyway, we're not putting the song on the podcast, but you'll be able to hear all of the amazing stories that Peking Duck have. Also about working with Daniel Johns, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
They did at his Newcastle house, but you'll hear all about that.
And we also spoke to Patty Mills, who, if you're a big NBA fan, you would know, won the NBA championships last year with the Spurs. He's the first Torres Strait Islander to do it. It was pretty incredible last year watching all the American commentators just lose their mind over how amazing he was. And then when he won, he had the Australian flag and the Torres Strait Islander flag. It was a massive moment. We spoke to him a lot about that and just about because it was NAIDOC week. So we spoke a bit with him about that too.
Also, did you know people have tanks?
Oh,
like
do they?
In Australia, heaps of people have tanks in their houses, like on farms and stuff. I don't know if they're armed with guns. We didn't really get to the bottom of that.
Well, they had their cannons. People were not sure whether or not they still fired. But it was a fascinating glimpse into the underworld of Australian farm life.
You'll hear all about that. Plus, a man called Fred Blair, who you might know if you're a Celtic enthusiast. Can you be one?
Yeah,
he is,
he
actually.
Is. Heaps of people are.
Yeah. So he reckons he's the only Aboriginal Celtic, and he does this amazing strongman event at the Glen Innes Celtic Games where he tosses cabers.
Which is logs for those uninitiated. We didn't know what a caber was. But it doesn't end there. You think, oh, I know what log tossing is. You just toss it as far as you can.
Very complicated.
No. It's a lot more of technique as well as strength.
I'm going to pick up Lewis later and see if I can toss him the same way.
Also, all the regulars, Sam Campbell, Becky Lucas. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And we're joined in the studio by Adam and Ruben, who you know as Peking Duck.
Ooh,
hola.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, so good to see you boys
again. So good to see you too.
Welcome home. You look great. You look fresh.
Oh, we don't feel fresh, so that's a compliment. Thank you.
Really? What have you been getting up to in the last couple of weeks?
We've been on a few flights. We're in Toronto and Michigan and...
New York in Brooklyn.
New Zealand as well.
And Ruben's been sleeping all around New Zealand. It's been great.
Yeah.
Oh. As in sleeping all around or just sleeping?
No, just falling asleep.
All right, okay. Yeah, that was good.
What are some big highlights for you over the last couple of months, though?
I'd have to say Electric Forest in Michigan was one of the most amazing.
Yeah, although that was like one of the most recent highlights. It's definitely like the big highlight I think of the year so far.
It was sort of like Coachella meets a doof.
Yeah, imagine a bush doof in the middle of nowhere where everyone's wearing their doof clothes with like a Coachella lineup. It was really cool.
And there was naked people everywhere. It was a cool vibe. It was good times.
And a weirdly lit up forest with like purple and green trees everywhere.
Yeah, highly recommend that.
Is that where you met DJ Snake? Because we've been really like creeping on your social media because it's a hell of a ride. It's my favorite show, actually, just watching Peking Duck's Instagram feed tick over.
He's a great friend of ours. We met him. Where did we first meet him?
I guess the Stereosonic tour was where we became tight with him.
And, yeah, and then we saw him in the streets of Miami.
Miami, Coachella, that we've sort of crossed paths many times.
Yeah, he's a great dude. Really,
as
really
intimidating
nice guy.
As he looks, he's actually the kindest person. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because he's always wearing these huge stunner shades everywhere, nighttime, no matter where he is. And it's, you know, a lot of people judge him for that, but he's one of the nicest dudes I've ever met.
Hands by down. A mile, yeah.
Wonder when he decided he would do that.
I reckon one day he sort of woke up and went, hey, I look really good in these.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep rolling with it.
He looks like a Parisian bouncer.
Yeah. The kind of Parisian bouncer that you wouldn't want to see.
And although he's Parisian and looks like that, he's
a legend.
The opposite.
Yeah.
Well, one of the reasons we've got you in is because we want to play some of the new music you've delivered us, which is awesome. We won't put it on just podcast yet, but you've been doing some other recording. What's been going on with you guys and Daniel Johns?
Oh, Daniel has become our new brother.
Absolutely. He's a part of the family, and
we got to write a bunch of music with him, and we stayed at his house up in Newcastle and did a bunch of recording. We wrote quite a few songs together, and it's really exciting. I can't wait to show everyone what it sounds like.
Hopefully it's not too long till we get to show people, but
it's
exciting times.
What would it be released as a part of?
Who knows? Maybe on the album, maybe not. Who knows? We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Sure. Him kind of doing his sort of new Daniel Johns sort of sexy R&B vibe.
Yeah, well, what happened was we wrote one joint that was, it was sort of like Peking Duck meets Daniel Johns' new sexy R&B vibe. and then we wrote one that was like really sort of J. Paul-esque, sort of trippy, I don't know, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
He was still on his sexy R&B vibe. But
we had a really fun couple of days.
Yeah, and it was incredible.
Just jammed
he's our brother now. He's an absolute dude.
Did you go somewhere fun to do it?
To his beautiful house in Newcastle.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay, cool.
And we stayed out there and, had a really good time. It was good.
So you mentioned an album. Are you guys working on an album? Where you at?
Yeah, we've been working on it for a while now. Chipping away, and we've been touring a lot, so we haven't been getting as much studio time as we'd wish, but it's lately we've actually been on our
pretty
hustle.
Much we're aiming for an album by 2020, and if we make that goal, we'll be forever the happiest people on the planet.
But no, it's coming along nicely right now, and hopefully we can have it all done soon, but we want to make it just right. We don't want to rush anything, so we're taking our time with it.
With Veronica and Lewis, and we're joined by the boys from Peking Duck, Adam and Ruben.
Hola.
Welcome. And after the 5 o'clock news, we're going to be playing your brand new track.
Thank you for doing that, by the way.
Are you kidding me? You guys had two of the songs in the hottest out of the top five in the Hottest 100 last year.
No, you guys are legends. It's an honor. Thank you.
Back off. Stop it.
Well, this is damn cute.
This
now,
is
isn't
adorable.
It?
It's like you put it on a little teaser on your Facebook.
Yeah, we did.
So what else can you tell us about the song before we hear it after five?
It's something a little different to the previous stuff that we've released, but it's sort of a closer step to the direction with what we're going with a lot of stuff, not just sticking to that one sidechain, big synth.
In case you listened to that teaser on our Facebook and turned it off after 1 second, we aren't actually inspired by Headhunters and all the 2007 hard style.
But don't get us wrong, we do love a good rave and hard style. We used to go to all the raves in Sydney.
And we love talking about a good rave too.
Good Thursday afternoon to you. Yeah, it's Veronica and Lewis in the studio, but we are joined by the guys that brought you this song. Adam and Ruben from Peking Duck. Are you guys sick of that song yet?
I love it more and more.
It's all love.
It just keeps getting better.
Yeah, I can't imagine you'd ever get sick of the reaction that song
it's
must
actually
get.
Sick. Like at the shows, we always play it last and it goes nuts. It's good. It's good fun.
Yeah, because last time we spoke to you guys, it was on the phone from Coachella. You guys were hanging out there.
Out of the desert.
Just having an incredible time. And we just had a call from Jax in Sydney, who was there. Jax, were you there? Did
Absolutely.
You catch Peking Duck?
Hello,
yeah,
Jax.
Yeah, I did. You guys killed it. It was amazing.
Thank you.
What were the highlights for you, Jax?
Peking Duck, absolutely, on the Friday. I still get butterflies thinking about you, set. And then Odessa, Old Jay,
the boys.
Benjamin Booker. The whole experience was just rad.
It's a great festival, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But no, you boys definitely represented.
Oh, thank you.
What do you remember about the set, Jax?
Probably dancing like a loony, feeling that I was connected to you boys. I think there was about five of us at the front of the crowd, and it was just...
You guys are absolutely legends.
Was it at Coachella that you guys said you got the guys from Overdose up?
Yeah, we brought all those boys out. They came out and danced in animal costumes, and then they did a rap verse each. And then they came out again and sprayed us with water. Then they came out again and poured tequila all over us.
Yeah, they were a very fundamental part of the set.
Yeah, they're great dudes. And then your music is incredible.
And are you guys going to catch up with them or anything in the future?
Yeah, for sure. We head over to LA, I think, in a few days. So I think we'll definitely have to catch up with them.
Yeah, cool.
Well, Jax from Sydney, are you pumped about hearing new Peking Duck?
Yeah, I am. I'm I'm actually waiting in the car.
Oh, too good. Jack, you are the best.
I have to hear it. I have to hear it.
You are too good.
You're with Veronica and Lewis, and we are joined in the studio by Adam and Ruben, Peking Duck.
Yeah.
And we just had a very kind request from someone saying, just play their song already. I'm busting for a dump. And you know what? You just can't ignore requests like that. We are going to put the song on in just a tick. All right. This is brand new stuff from Peking Duck. Tell us about who's popping up on the vocals.
So a man is a very ambiguous man.
Man of mystery.
He's an enigma, some say. You'll be hearing a lot more about him very soon. But yeah, he goes by the name of Benjamin Joseph. He's part of our family.
He's been in the family for a solid run now. And
he's traveled around the world with us.
And I dare say in the next year or two, everyone will connect the dots and go, Benjamin Joseph.
In the meantime, though, he's the J. Paul vibe. He's very ambiguous, mysterious.
Maybe just see if you can connect the dots while you listen to the song.
Yeah, I think the dots might get connected much
I think they will. I think it's
still
Did you guys come up with the song in Coachella when you were hanging out?
It was actually really funny. It was after Stereosonic in Melbourne, and we were hungover. Yeah. So hungover. I think we were still drunk, but the song was actually written in like a matter of probably like 20 minutes. Everything was sort of there. It sounded rough, but you know, all the ideas were there. And then we went to Canberra and tidied it all up back home. And
then had a session in LA. And
oh yeah, and then we really tightened it up in LA.
Yeah.
But it came together really quickly, which, you know, they're always the funnest ones when it's just like, you don't second guess anything, you just go for it. And that's how it went down.
And so you haven't been playing this song at all in any of your sets?
We played at Coachella and that was it, yeah.
And?
Just at Coachella, but
they loved it.
Yeah, it was sick. People were vibing.
All right. Anything else you want to tell us before we put it on?
We hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. This is Say My Name from Peking Duck, featuring Benjamin Joseph. You're Triple J. That is Peking Duck, Say My Name, featuring Benjamin Joseph. And thank you so much for all of the text coming in. Love it already. We got it about 30 seconds in.
Adam and Ruben are freaking out. They've run away from the microphones. They're like trying to leave through the back door.
We're very nervous. Lucian in Sydney saying, holy moly, this is legit already top 10 for Hottest 100. And Jenna saying, so much more excited for Splendor now. It's going to be massive. Guys, so much love on the text line. This is incredible.
Thank you. Thanks so much for being the first play for that. Thank you.
Yeah. So what is going to be the plan for Splendor for you guys?
We've got a lot of very, very special guests coming out. And
yeah, special guests is, I guess, the thing for us when we get to do festivals and fun things.
And, we've got a very hectic sort of light show, and we've got these
and a new visual
and stage rig and stuff. It's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun. We can't wait to show everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And then after that, you're heading back to the States.
Yeah, back to Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Crazy. So were those na 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 nas?
Yeah.
Who was that?
That was actually, it was mainly me screaming and just layering them, because if you scream enough, then it sort of can't be out of tune.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Say My Name is such a great song and so many people are loving it. Thank you so much for bringing it in.
Thank you.
Have a great time up until Splendor.
Cheers, and we'll see you there.
And we're nearing the end of NAIDOC Week, celebrating the achievements of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And one of the very successful Australian exports is NBA basketballer Paddy Mills. How are you going, Paddy?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, great. You're still in the States at the moment?
Yeah, still in the States after a long NBA season and had a chance to relax and kind of unwind and then let the body recover and, back into training now.
Oh, you're already back into training?
Yeah, as crazy as it seems, we did have almost about 2 months off to enjoy it and really relax and recharge the body, but back into it now to get ready for, the next season.
Oh, so what did you do in the 2 months?
I've done a lot of relaxing, tried to chase the sun actually, went to the beach, went to the salt water to jump in the ocean and really unwind. So that's my, when it comes to off season, what I like to do and really just, have nothing else to worry about at that time.
Do most of the players hang out together in the off season?
Yeah, it's very funny you say that, actually. We're such a tight group during the season, and we like to share each other's companies by going out to dinners and lunches and really hang out away from the basketball court. And for me, that's really translated into the off-season as well. I've actually got some time to spend with a lot of other teammates, not just in San Antonio, but I got to hang out with some in Bermuda, where we got to spend some time, and in Phoenix as well. So a lot of other, around outside of San Antonio that we get to hang out with teammates, and I think that's just a small glimpse of, how tight we are as a group.
Yeah, because quite a few of the Spurs are from places other than the States. So do you guys all kind of look after each other?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's so good in that sense to be able to learn about different cultures and their background and where they're from. So, the more that we sit around at dinner and talk about each other's countries, we all get excited and want to go and visit them in their own country. So, hopefully soon we'll have a lot of San Antonio Spurs visiting us in Australia.
Just on learning things about each other's culture, this week is NAIDOC week, but just last month was Mabo Day, which for you last year was quite a big thing for the Spurs during the NBA playoffs when your coach was kind of explaining to the other team members exactly what Mabo Day meant. Can you tell us what he said?
Yeah, it was a funny story, actually. We were getting ready for the NBA Finals two seasons ago now to face LeBron James and the Miami Heat. And the very first film session to start the preparation, the first thing he mentioned was Mabo Day, and then went into a little bit of a background of who Eddie Mabo was. And that straight away, educated people on what a special day it was for Australians and for an Indigenous Australian, and for me also. So it was a very special moment for me, and for him to do that, to learn and teach, my teammates and the other coaches. But it just really said a lot about who he is as a person and as a coach, and in doing that. So again, just something that was very quick, but just brought awareness to what a special day that June 3 was.
Is there any like music or anything that you listen to when you're about to play a game that we could put on?
I'm probably the total opposite from what you're thinking of. I'm total chill. A lot of reggae type slow, island music almost. There is one song, I don't know if you have it, it's from Yossi Yindi, it's called Yiramala, that I listen to before a game. I'm real relaxed when it comes to listening to music before games, so nothing up-tempo or anything.
On Triple J, you're with Veronica and Lewis, and we're joined on the phone from San Antonio, I'm assuming. Is that where you are, Patty Mills?
No, actually, I'm in Los Angeles at the moment. It's very, very humid in San Antonio, so we decided to set up shop in LA to commence training and go back to work.
Oh, nice. We were speaking to Andrew Bogut last week, who is heading off to train with the Boomers, but are you sort of missing that, or...?
No, well, that doesn't start for a little bit yet. The team hasn't been selected as yet, but I'm definitely available, and I'm fortunate enough to have the San Antonio Spurs, their support of me to play for Australia this year.
Yeah, because you got the qualifiers against New Zealand in Melbourne in August. How do you feel about the Australians' chance against New Zealand, the Tall Blacks?
Yeah, look, New Zealand is becoming a very strong nation. The guys that are coming up through, and you have guys that are in the NBA as well and playing over in Europe. So it's definitely going to be, a tough series. Whenever Australia plays New Zealand, there always tends to be that, that 20% more energy that they find to come on into battle. But this is a Rio Olympics that is on the line, and obviously both countries want to make that run as much as they can. So it's going to be a very hard-fought battle, but one that should be very exciting.
You had a pretty huge last Olympics, averaging 21 points a game. Is Rio next year something you've already had time to think about much and get excited about?
Yeah, it's tough, when you play such a long season in the NBA, and obviously, playing for your country at an Olympic Games and then at a World Championships is something that, you pride yourself on. You take pride in putting on the green and gold jersey, and I was unfortunate to do that last year at the World Championships due to a shoulder surgery. But you know, you got to get there first, and this is the whole process that we're going through this year to try and get there. But I mean, to play for Australia at an Olympic Games, you know, it's definitely, you know, up there in terms of peaks and then, you know, what you want to achieve and get to.
Yeah, and as we were saying, you know, it's a pretty good time for Australian basketball. We've got quite a few people in the NBA now, yourself, Aaron in the Spurs as well, Andrew Bogut, Dellavedova playing in the final series this year. Have you had a chance to sort of congratulate Andrew Bogut about welcoming to the Australian team of championship ring owners?
Oh, yeah, for sure, mate. We go back and forth during text. And, look, I think it's, in all seriousness, it's great for Australia as a country. It's great for basketball within Australia. And I just hope, you know, everyone back home really understands how big it was for Andrew Bogut to win a championship this year with the Warriors. It's such an unbelievable feeling once you get there and then to win it. But to have it done, you know, for other Australians to win it back-to-back years, it's just really special and really rare. So, you know, we're very lucky now to have a lot of Aussies in the league, and hopefully there's more to come.
Have you noticed a lot of up-and-coming young Indigenous footballers?
Basketballers?
Basketballers?
No, well, actually, I do keep an eye on the young footballers that come through as well, and I'm very excited for them. But, yeah, we're trying it as much as we can. You know, it's hard as it is in football. But to try and, you know, get guys to come out and really commit to a sport like basketball and really enjoy it to get to the next level. And, you know, the AFL and also the NRL do a great job in you know, recruiting or looking after those guys to make sure that they're well looked after. And you know, we got to get there with basketball as well. We're not up to that level, but I think that, you know, as years goes on, that's got to be a focus for us to grab these guys from remote areas and from the islands and get them into basketball and see how they go, because I already know that there's some great young talent that's out there that can definitely make it to this level.
Yeah, right. That was a real faux pas, wasn't it? I just touched on a sell point. There's too much focus on football, not enough on basketball. Thank you so much for chatting to us, Paddy Mills.
Yeah, no worries, guys. Thanks for having me.
Cool. Can't wait to see how you guys go against New Zealand, and good luck next season.
Perfect, guys. Thank you.
And the internet is filled with a lot of things that you potentially might be thinking are cool, because websites tell us that's a trend, that's the next big thing. But to sort it all out for us, we have Becky Lucas in to tell us...
What's cool? What's cool? What's cool?
Welcome back, Becky Lucas.
Welcome back, you two. What the hell? Was Hedwig sick or something? I didn't hear from you.
I'd missed this. Last week we had Michael Hing in to replace you, who it turns out is the least cool person we know.
Yeah, I could have told you that.
Yeah, he snuck this in between his video game show and his Dungeons & Dragons night.
King of StarCraft.
Yeah, but he did manage to work in a couple of Harry Potter references.
Oh, good one.
You almost weren't missed.
His facts were better than yours, though. Often, like, people spend the rest of our show fact-checking your Harry Potter bits.
But I like that there's no facts to it. It's just you just look like Harry Potter. That's all there is to
it. All right, let's move on. What has the internet been telling us is cool this week, Becky?
Well, okay, there's a new thing called sound-based meals.
Oh, God.
And, sounds like a good diet.
Yeah, well, it's okay. So what you have to do is you go to these places and with an awful friend, I imagine, who's taken you there. And you go into different rooms and you eat different foods, and then they play different pitch sounds. And apparently sometimes if you play a high pitch sound, the food's sweeter. And if it's lower, it's more bitter. And I don't know.
I actually think that is.
That's
cool. That is cool.
I think it sounds shit, personally.
Because do they match wines as well?
I don't know.
Or is it just someone whining?
That's what I thought. It just would be so awful. I imagine someone being like, yeah, let's go out for dinner. And then you just... walking around, trying food, listening to sound, like just high-pitched sounds. It's like Christmas. It's like my grandma being, I've taken my pants off. Yeah. So my grandma did take her pants off on Christmas.
That's cool.
Really?
Yes.
What were the circumstances?
She'd gone a bit mental for 2 weeks. And she took her pants off. And it's still something my mum talks about to this day.
Mm. How old was she when she took her pants off?
Oh, no, 80s maybe.
Okay.
So back to the food. What kind of sounds? Is it just noises, like one of those hearing tests you do at primary school? Or is it like the sound of the ocean sort of swirling?
I believe it's just high-pitched, like me.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, I know. I'd be so annoyed. So let's just go get a chicken sandwich.
And listen to each other. Yeah. Let's just talk for once.
Let's listen to CK.
Listen to the sounds of the service station. Delicious chicken sandwich.
Listen to some Angus and Julia Stone.
But I'd be interested to know that it does work, though.
Yeah.
Higher pitch makes it sweeter. I think that'd be right.
Yeah.
Based on what?
Based on...
That's... Based on the internet. Now, we've covered listening to annoying sounds while you eat annoying food with annoying people in annoying places.
Which actually sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
What else has been cool this week?
Well, there's a recent art graduate has developed a personal tattoo machine.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. So you can just decide what you'd like and then you pop it into the machine and then it goes for it.
Well, yes, I think it's just like a pen. Like, it's just like a little, it's just very, it's just more safe than a normal, so it's like a tattoo gun, but it's... Just
like a vibrating pen.
Because really, all tattoo machines are personal tattoo machines if you're willing to go there.
I think he says this one's the safest and most sterile, and it's just got one thickness and you can't mess up too badly.
Yeah. Can I just say, as a real PSA, once some friends of mine got another friend who's an artist a tattoo gun for his birthday.
Yeah.
And we all thought that would be a really good idea. Thought he's going to love this.
Mm.
And all that happens is that you end up getting drunk and then agreeing to tattoos that you shouldn't. And at one point, two friends got into a tattoo gun fight, which basically was just them like ding, ding, like all over their bodies.
Oh my God.
And they woke up in the morning with just these dots across their chest.
That's crazy.
And then
sorry.
Not cool if you've seen the photos. And then they eventually had to have a ceremonial burning of the tattoo gun to make sure
like
that
like a
no
government
one ever...
buyback.
Yeah, there was an amnesty for the tattoo
gun. Oh man, that's crazy. I know, because if I had a tattoo gun, I'd just have like to-do lists. It'd just be like, oh, YouTube that thing that guy said. It'd just be so bad.
I'm desperate to know how this solo tattoo gun will go, but if you do buy one, keep us posted, because I guarantee it won't end well, and I'd love to hear how it goes.
What else is cool?
What else is cool? There's a mood-detecting scarf.
Like a mood ring?
Yeah, like a mood ring, but worse. Or lame. Actually, I tried to buy you one, but you refused to take your Gryffindor Quidditch, which I thought was rude, but anyway, moving on.
Is it heat detected or what?
Yeah, apparently as you get more stressed, you heat up and your blood pressure rises and it can detect that.
So everyone will know that you're stressed?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking if you got invited to a Swans game and you weren't wearing the right scarf, you just have to get real mad and you'd fit in. I used to think about the time someone corrected your grammar online and then you'd be fine.
Wow. So you're like a giant frill neck lizard just kind of showing it off to everyone.
Mm.
It doesn't seem to be beneficial, does it?
No. I mean, I have stress and anxiety all the time, but I mask it.
Luckily for you, it's just sweaty pits. So no one ever knows, but me when you go, Lewis, I'm real sweaty.
Just red eyes, popped capillaries.
Oh, wow. I'm curious to know, like, how do you create a fabric that changes colour?
Look, I don't get into the
details.
You've
not seen hypercoloured t-shirts, my friend? Do you not live through the 90s?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's true.
No, he didn't. He grew up on a farm.
That's true.
Reading books.
We weren't allowed.
Chickens in front of naked people on a beach.
Look, all right, fine. Yes, that was my job. What do you want?
We wore hemp shirts. He didn't have multicolored changing shirts.
We didn't trust colour. It wasn't in our nature. That's pretty wild. So essentially the guys have taken hypercolor t-shirts and cut them into a strip.
Mm. Mm. Think about it like auras, Lewis.
Okay, those changes. I know a lot about.
Exactly.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it is pretty weird and probably won't take off, truth be told. That's
cool. Oh, Becky Lucas, thank you for coming in once again and telling us what's cool.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You are away next week, aren't you?
I'm going away to America for 3 weeks.
Not cool.
I know, but I'll find some good people to replace me.
Yeah, go to Brooklyn and find out if that's still cool.
Yeah, I
will. Report back to us.
Will do.
Thanks, Becky.
Thanks. You're on Triple J with Veronica and Lewis.
And a story just popped up that I saw today, Veronica. Set in Germany, this tale. It was this woman went to this German's house a little while ago to look, because they thought they might have some old Nazi art in this collector's house.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't find any art that had been taken from the Nazis, by the Nazis rather, but they did find a bunch of other stuff, including a 45-ton tank.
What?
So this German guy has just been like collecting stuff, and they did this, like, they went through it, they found a 45-ton Panther or Panzer tank, a flak cannon, like an 88-millimeter flak gun, just all these, like a torpedo as well. And
just a small scale museum?
Yeah, well,
was none of it workable?
This is the lawyer from the guy or the person who said that, look, it was all properly demilitarized and registered.
I just like to know I had it.
Can you register a tank?
I don't think so. I think they would say perhaps you shouldn't have the tank.
What's it for? Hunting foxes.
Yeah.
But the weirdest thing about it was that in all the interviews that is happening in like all the local newspapers, like it's kind of getting, it became like a big national story, and now it's become a bit of an international story. People going like, how did this happen? And everyone in the town in Germany around him has just gone, oh, the tank man. Yeah, we knew him.
Oh, yeah, we're on board with that guy.
We all knew about his tank. And because apparently during this, like, snowstorm in 78 and 79, no one could get anywhere. So he just pulled out the tank. Apparently it wasn't demilitarized then, still zipping around. Yeah. And he started plowing the snow for everyone.
What, as a party trick kind of thing?
Well, this is a little social service. He goes, how are we going to get through the snow? Hop on my 45-ton Panther tank.
That's crazy. I love that it's he was hiding it in his cellar. Wait, I'm like, where did you keep your wine? In a bunker? Like
beneath the tank.
It's a big
in a different
cellar.
Thing.
Yeah,
because I must admit, when I heard that, I thought, like, as a town, when you hear something like that, like, I know you don't want to create a culture of fear where everyone's like suspecting their neighbor. You don't want to be paranoid about your friends. But if you hear someone's got a tank, like, that's worthy of reporting.
Surely. I've never heard anything worthy of reporting. And I don't know that I would
in your neighbourhood.
Yeah.
Oh, no, snitches get stitches. But, yeah, the only thing – I remember pretty recently the closest thing I had was I was at a house of someone in my neighbourhood and they showed me their piranha.
To report it.
And I thought, I don't know if you're allowed to have
and
those.
And does the whole neighbourhood know the piranha?
Yeah, and it kind of goes like, maybe I should say something. I feel like that's not okay.
Oh. Do you know anyone with a tank?
Well, as in, no, I think like a piranha tank, not a tank. No.
Shannon from Canberra, who's your tank guy?
We actually don't know his name. He's fairly known as the tank guy from Moran Bateman. Because, his property runs alongside like the main highway and you can see everything on his property. And crazy enough, he owns one and you always see him bouncing around in his property on it.
So, what sort of attire does he wear when he's zipping around in his tank?
I can only presume, a scarf and like the old one monocle or like aviator hat.
Oh, perfect.
What's the theory on whether or not it still shoots?
Oh, that's a good... probably explains all the, craters in his back property, but, Yeah.
How has that not come out? How have you guys been discussing Tank Guy for years and not wondered whether or not it fires?
I think it's just for the fact that
everyone knows Tank Guy.
I think this guy has a lot of money. He has his own airplane, like a plane strip as well. So we just presume that he had a ridiculous amount of money and just purchased a tank.
Oh my God!
Thanks, Shannon. Someone else says, I live on the surf coast of Victoria, and my partner was looking out the kitchen window just the other day, spotted a tank on the property across the road from ours.
No way! That's my neighbourhood. How did I not know my own neighbourhood had a tank guy?
You had a tank guy.
I never
even
knew.
Someone else, we're just hearing about other weird things people have. Someone says one of my neighbours operates a butcher out of his garage, claims to sell exotic meats. Apparently, it's not that bad either.
That feels highly illegal.
Dodgy.
I'm still stuck on the tanks. In fact, we had this text in just then. Someone said, when I was younger, I woke up one morning to a tank in my neighbour's front yard. Couldn't wait to get home from school. He drove us up the street in it and crushed the gutter. We also had a person who got a lift to his formal in his granddad's tank.
That would be the most impressive way to turn up to a formal. But people are out and proud about their tanks.
Maybe it's legal. I guess it is. Or maybe not. And I guess you're not going to argue with a guy with a tank.
Sex tip of the week.
Sex tip of the week.
Now it's time for another sex tip of the week. Brought to you by Independent Senator Glenn Lazarus.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Squirrel grip the Prime Minister. If that doesn't work, use the Hoppawattie tactics.
Sex tip of the week.
And it is NAIDOC week. We're celebrating the achievements of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And in the studio with us now is Young Australian of the Year for the Northern Territory, Chantelle Ober. How you doing, Chantelle?
Hey, I'm pretty good, thanks.
Yeah, so you're usually based in Katherine, but you spend a bit of time in Darwin too?
Yeah, I've got family up here, and yeah, when there's different events and stuff on, I do a bit of traveling, and when I fly out, I obviously have to come to Darwin. So, yeah, pretty familiar with the place.
Are you born and bred in Katherine?
No. I was born in Brizzy, Queenslander, but I grew up in Batcher, a little tiny town. Just outside of Darwin, but yeah, grew up in the territory, so I am a territory girl.
how tiny's tiny in Bachelor?
Just under 1,000 people,
yeah.
Ish, yeah. So
that's pretty tiny.
Well, you did start a program in Katherine for young people. What made you want to do that?
So I do a couple of programs in Katherine. There's the YMCA Girls Program that I've helped to get started. It's about empowering young women. So the idea was put to us by a couple of young teenage girls who identified there was a gap in the community where there wasn't a support group just for girls when they were going through issues and problems. They just wanted somewhere safe to come and get some help and have fun and engage in a positive way instead of kind of resorting to, you know, the negative things that young people tend to get involved with. Mm. So yeah, that's been running since 2012 and it's really evolved and become a really strong group and a strong voice for young women across our region. We've been involved in a lot of projects. We've done a couple of fashion parades last year at a few festivals, and this year we've done a dance performance called Sister Power. So it came from a music video that the girls wrote with the Indigenous Hip Hop Projects, which was titled Sister Power. So we've had a lot of positive things coming from that program.
Yeah. What's the most rewarding thing for you working with YMCA Girls Program?
Definitely just seeing the progress of the girls and, you know, seeing where they start off. And it does take a bit to build those relationships and to get them, you know, out of their comfort zone and away from that shame business. But once they start to really grow and develop that confidence within themselves and they just really shine and they step up and they're amazing. Like, you know, they become beautiful, strong women that, you know, we see that potential in them, but it's just that process and journey of bringing that out of them. So yeah, I love it. You know, like as a young Indigenous woman, I am really passionate about building up young women in my community. And yeah, you know, I think I was fortunate enough to have strong women in my life growing up. So I just want to give that back, you know, to the next generation coming up.
All right, well, we want to hear more about that. We'll go to a song, but we're with Chantelle Ober. You're on Triple J listening to Veronica and Lewis. We'll come back with more after this. And you're on Triple J. We're with Chantelle Ober celebrating NAIDOC Week on Triple J. You were talking about some mentors that you have. Can you tell us more about that?
I'm pretty blessed to have strong women in my life. My grandmother and my mum, who have, you know, been that rock for me and, you know, were a positive mentor in my life and just taught me that, you know, there's so many opportunities out there. And I think, you know, as a young person, it can be very intimidating and you doubt yourself and you think, I can't do that, I'm not good enough. But like, just to lean on their strength and they believe in me and keep saying, you know, take those opportunities, you can do it, don't give up. Like, and I just look at my grandmother and just see, you know, that my elders struggled, you know, and they went through the hard times, and they weren't given the opportunities that I think us as young people today are given. So I think that's just really important to me to carry it on for this young generation and show other young people that you can do it and you can go against the crowd and you can, you know, break down stereotypes and not get caught up in a cycle of, you know, negativity. So yeah, that's what inspires me.
So what are your sort of career or community leadership aspirations?
At the moment, I'm kind of a go with the flow kind of girl. So
yeah.
I don't really, to tell you the truth, I don't have like a 5-year plan or anything like that. You know what? I love working with young people and I've found where I'm meant to be for now. So I believe that's part of my purpose. And it's taken me a long time to realize that. When I was younger, I used to say, I will never, like, who would ever live in Catherine? Like, I could never live there, you know? And who would, like, I'd hate to work with kids. But it's just funny how, like, you know, life kind of takes you on your own journey. And I actually found myself living and working in Catherine with young people. So it's been a bit of a discovery journey for me as well, finding myself, being comfortable, you know, in my own skin, and overcoming, you know, my own kind of personal doubts and stuff. So
is it tough with Catherine being such a small community, always having to be like a leader, someone who people look up to? You get to let your hair down and behave badly sometimes.
You know what? It's an awesome place. Like I kind of, I'm so busy. Like I do get time off, but I'm usually away from Catherine. Like for me, I think it's good to get away and just, you know, have a break and go on a holiday or go interstate. But I don't feel the pressure. I think I'm just naturally, you know, I go with the flow. I'm a positive kind of person. And yeah, like, I think the only real pressure I feel sometimes is like, now that I've got this kind of title of NT Young Australian of the Year, it's like, you know, being in that spotlight, and it's kind of like stepped me up to a whole nother level. So, yeah, I kind of like, oh, I don't know if I can do it. But yeah, it's awesome that I like feeling that kind of fear and nervousness, because I'm like, yes, I can overcome this. I can do it.
Yeah.
So it's healthy for me to just, you know, always challenge myself and know that I'm not doing it for me. You know, I'm doing it for other people and young people in my community. And if I can encourage one person, like, you know, that's enough.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know who nominated you for the Young Australian of the Year, Shanta?
Yeah, I did.
Who was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I did. And I was like, I'm going to kill you. it was actually a few people, my boss and my pastor from my local church. There was a few people who kind of, yeah, got together and dobbed me in. So,
well, congratulations. It was a worthy victory as a Young Australian of the Year in Northern Territory. Shanta Loba, thanks so much for chatting to us.
No worries. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks.
Sam Campbell.
Hey, Street Angel Sam Campbell. How are you?
That's me. Yeah. I'm good.
Yeah, great. Tell us what you took to the streets today. What's been up in
your grill?
You guys
were talking all about, you're saying there's been a lot of boycotts going around.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yep. As far as we know, no one's boycotted Triple J, but then maybe they have and they just haven't told us.
So it's like
there's a boycott involving a hat.
Tony Abbott wanted to boycott Q&A until the inquiry's over.
Yeah, there's also...
Bob Catter wants to boycott Akubra until they definitely say they're going to keep using rabbit skin.
Yeah, Australian rabbit skin.
Yep.
Cameron rugby. Smith from the Queensland Maroons boycotting Channel 9, not wanting to do an interview with them after the game. Three different boycotts. It's Boycott City at the moment.
It's a lot of boycotts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever boycotted anything?
Yeah, recently I've decided to boycott the bird show at the Taronga Zoo.
Why is that?
Well, I've seen it a couple of times, and lately I really feel like they're letting it slip.
In what way?
There's so many mistakes. I don't know. They got new trainers, the birds, just they're not giving them enough seeds.
Oh.
I don't know. There's a bit in the bird show where they go, well, it's lucky we've got all these birds, because we used to have a rat problem here at Taronga Zoo, and luckily it's all good now. But as they say that, three rats crawl behind them on a banister.
Oh.
And last time I went, one of the rats didn't go across, and they're like trying to coax this rat. They're like, get across. I understand the rat is scared of all the different birds around.
I love that you know the script, like you've come to know it so well because you've been so many times.
My favourite bit is when they go, does anyone have a $2 coin? And someone holds it up and the bird flies out and grabs it.
Oh, that's a good trick. I can't believe you're down on the bird show.
Well, last time I saw it, they dropped the coin.
Yeah, he's got standards, Lewis.
It was a Mickey Mouse show, if anything. It was really...
So you hit the streets asking about boycotts.
Yeah.
Right. Or bird shows.
I didn't talk about birds. Sorry.
Sam Campbell, Street Angel.
Hello, everybody. If there's one place that I can never boycott, it would be the streets. It's where I belong. And I'm going to be asking everyone out here if there's anything that they've had to turn their back on. Thank you, and let's go. Hopefully get some results.
Breakfast TV, it's a great load of crap.
Those big chain stores where you can buy T-shirts for $1.50.
A few friends, I guess.
Your boycott is some friends.
Yeah, no, they're just, I don't know, not worth the time, I guess.
Yeah, a couple of snakes in your temple.
Yeah, pretty much.
I try to boycott chicken.
What's that?
Because they don't treat them very well. There's a lot of antibiotics and stuff when they grow them.
Do you have nothing to do with chicken? Would you watch the chicken run?
I watch chicken things. Things about chicken. It's just the eating it.
I think saying boycott is a bit harsh, but it's so darn fun. I like to boycott my boy Scott. He's my son Scott, and he does not pay attention to me. I'm going to be throwing him in the bin. Is there anything you've boycotted?
Any of the Murdoch newspapers. Paying money for them anyway.
Get out of here, Murdoch, you greasy man.
I agree. He's a grub.
He is a grub, isn't he?
Yeah.
What would you say if he was right here? Coming
I'd
at you?
I'd tell him he's a grub.
Let's pretend I'm Murdoch.
But you're a grub.
Yeah.
Buying influence with your newspapers. Political influence. Yep.
Oh, thank you so much. Have you turned your back on anything? Is there anything you boycott in this modern world?
Well, I've recently gone vegan.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks, I guess, yeah.
I think God, maybe I'll become a vegan.
Yeah, you should try it out. It's good.
You inspired me.
Thank you.
I'm not becoming a vegan. Right now I'm going to eat a big sausage roll. Well, there you go. It's time to leave the streets once again. Have we got something? Goodbye.
Sam Campbell, Street Angel.
Did you have a sausage roll, Sam Campbell?
Yes. Yes, I did. Allegations are true. I had a snag roll, and I will never apologise. Never.
Thanks for coming in, Sam. I hope one day you make it back to the Bird Show.
That is a collaboration that was hooked up by Triple J on Earth for NAIDOC Week, celebrating the achievements and culture of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Denny is the name of one of the artists, and Kieran is another. The track is Wolves. If you like it, triplejonearth.com. Go on to Denny's page. You'll find the track there.
Yeah, so many awesome texts coming in. Blindingly amazing. I've got goosebumps. Courtney said it was stellar. Rach in Melbourne said, holy track. Mega appreciation for these two artists. The window is down. Blaring this for the drive home. As someone said, second drop is straight fire, fam.
And we're joined by Denny on the line right now from Adelaide. How are you going, Denny?
Hello.
Hey, you're also a feature artist on Triple J Unearthed all this week.
Oh, my gosh, so much loving from you guys this week. It's ridiculous.
So tell us about the making of this track. Kieran is from New South Wales. You're from South Australia. Were you guys in the same place for the collaboration?
No, not at all. Look, legend Lachie McCarr from Unearth, he set this collaboration up, asked Kieran if he wanted to collaborate, and for some reason he chose me, which I'm totally chuffed about. And he sent me through a couple of ideas that he had, and one of the tracks was called Wolves, and I'd been kind of cruising around just singing like this hook, you know, do you want to run, do you want to run, and but was totally loving his track Achilles, and was just like, oh, I can hear some juicy vocals in there, some really moody vocals, and yeah, hit him up and he was keen, and yeah, a couple of sessions in my bedroom and in the studios at Chasm with my homie Nathan May. He recorded and mixed for me, and yeah, got my sister girl Demetri Khan on there as well, doing some backup vocals in the chorus. So
yeah, wow. When you guys were talking at the start about the collaboration, were there any like themes or anything you were trying to get out of it, or were you just like, let's just make a fire track?
Yeah, kind of just making a track. Like, Kieran's just got such a colourful sound with his beats. And, you know, once I heard kind of through that playlist that Unearth put out, there was five of us, and I was just playing all those tracks on repeat. And, yeah, Achilles was just earworming me. So I was totally lucky to be able to jump on.
Is this your most successful line date collaboration?
Oh, I'd have to say so, probably with AFRA as well. My track Blink has been getting a bit of love as well. So definitely with AFRA and Kieran, those two collaborations have helped me get a different sound out, which has been great.
Yeah, someone just texted in, it sounds like Hudmo and Lana Del Rey had a child.
I'm happy with that, man. I'll take that all day, yeah.
Do you reckon you guys will work together again?
Oh, I'd love to. You know, if we're making fire, you know, across states, I'd love to be in a room and making some tracks with him. So we'll see how it goes.
Oh, Denny from Triple J on Earth, thank you so much for chatting to us, and congratulations on the song. It's awesome.
Cheers, guys. Thanks so much.
caber tossing.
That's right, caber tossing. Now, a lot of you may not know what caber tossing is, which is why we are joined on the phone right now from a man from northwest New South Wales in Glen Innes, a man who reckons he's Australia's only Celtic Aboriginal, Fred Blair. G'day, Fred.
G'day, how are you going?
Really good.
So tell us, how do you think you're the only Celtic Aboriginal? What sort of research have you done?
Oh, not much research, but we have the Australian Celtic Festival in Glen Innes, and I work for the Glen Innes Information Centre. And once a year during the Celtic Festival weekend, I organise the Australian Celtic Festival Amateur Strongman event, which brings in those traditional sports of tossing the caber and farmers' walks. So the farmers' walk is sort of lifting and carrying rocks around the paddock. And the caber is a 12-foot local Australian hardwood pole that we have to toss during the festival weekend. And I also have to wear a kilt.
So just talk us through caber tossing, because I must admit I didn't know much about it previously. You're tossing a log upwards, outwards?
Yes, you pick up this, I'll just put it in metres, 3-metre length pole. And it weighs about 36 kilos, and you've got to pick this pole up and balance it, and then it's a traditional Scottish sport, so once you've got the pole balanced, you've got to walk a couple of steps forward, and out in front of you, you've got this massive big Arthur clock face. And the pole, when you throw it, it's not as far as you can throw it. You've got to toss it up in the air, and it's got to do a complete circle in the air and land on the ground in front of you. And it lands into a clock face, so you can score your points. It might land straight 12 o'clock or fall to the left or right.
Right. Okay.
What's the optimum? Where do you want to toss it?
12.
12.
12 is the ultimate scoring point.
Right. Yeah. So you grab a giant log, make it do a flip, and then land flat on the ground at about 12 o'clock onto a giant clock face on the ground.
Yes.
That makes sense.
An amazing sport. Have you ever tried out any of the other events in the... Because the Highland Games have quite a variety of different sports there. There's like the sheaf toss, tossing a bale of hay.
Yes, they are all fantastic events. With our strongman event at the Celtic Festival in Glen Innes in May every year, we have the caber toss. But then we have the one that people come back to every year for the last 15 years. They've been coming back to conquer the farmer's walk, which is rock lift and carry. They've got to pick up a 100-kilo rock.
Whoa.
If they can't pick it up, they can't compete. But they have to pick it up, then carry it 30 metres. And it's all based on a timed event. Yeah.
It's an interesting combination, these events, of both practical and non-practical.
Yeah.
Because I guess it made sense at some point as a sport. Like, you know what I mean?
When people were lifting up rocks, you know, for their work.
And they were like, oh,
who could do it the best?
Yeah, for sure.
You think all, like, offices and jobs now should just have a competitive version of whatever they do.
Yeah, who can staple the fastest, that kind of thing. So have you ever been to Scotland, Fred?
No, not myself. No.
Because they do, they're Highland Games all
over
the world.
Yeah, they're an Highland game, yeah, they're all over the world, yes. But part of the festival is I wear kilts, so I do get a lot of visitors coming from around overseas and around Australia, and they do ask, you know, are you Aboriginal and why are you wearing a kilt?
Mm.
So I just say, well, it's part of the festival atmosphere.
Yeah, you say mind your business.
I love wearing a kilt, and it's showing that I'm love to celebrate all cultures in festival, dance and entertainment, basically. So, yeah. When I got married in a grass skirt. So I thought, you know, if I can wear a grass skirt, a kilt's very similar.
Yeah. Well, Fred Blair, we've loved chatting to you and hearing all about the caber toss.
Yep.
We better let you go. What are you up to for the rest of the day?
My brother Bob and my mum's cooking kangaroo stew today in our local parklands. All the youth are coming out and enjoying a bit of cultural dance and activities and kangaroo stew. So it's going to be a little bit of fun for them today in our town.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Fred Blair, sounds beautiful. Okay. Thank you so much for being our people who are better than you at caber tossing today.
Thank you. Have a good day.
On Triple J this Friday afternoon, you're with Veronica and Lewis.
And I don't know if you caught the news yesterday, the drummer of AC/DC, Phil Rudd, there's been a decision about his future. He was sentenced in the district court in New Zealand yesterday to 8
months home detention, which is actually he lives in a waterfront mansion. But still, he has to be monitored for 24 hours a day. And if he breaches anything, like if he leaves the place, then he'll be put in jail, essentially. Mm. It's on drugs and threatening to kill charges. So one of the interesting things about it was that he was saying, oh, well, you know, I'm going to lose tens of millions of dollars if I don't tour to certain countries with AC/DC. And the judge said, well, listen, I'm not convinced that your drumming is integral to the AC/DC sound. He said Queen replaced Freddie Mercury, which is pretty offensive.
That is pretty brutal. And not always, you can't always just go around successfully replacing anything. But this idea that it kind of besmirches all drummers.
Oh,
like just going, drummers, mate. They've got machines for that now.
Yeah, unless you're Cram and you're singing while you're doing it, you're nothing. Like, say, for example, Thunderstruck. Thunderstruck! They need Phil for that.
Well, they need someone. Doesn't sound that complicated.
Anyway, I don't suppose we're the right people to judge. We thought we'd get a drummer's opinion on the whole charade, and we've enlisted the help of Dan, the drummer from Ballpark Music. How you going, Dan?
Oh, not very good after hearing what the Your Honour said about Phil Rudd.
Objection, Your Honour. How dare you?
Yeah, I object.
It is a bit of a slap in the face for drummers. Do you want to defend the honour of drummers?
Yeah, I want to say, first of all, too, I feel it's a little insensitive of Your Honour. I object once again. because he kind of said that to a guy who had to endure losing a band member early on in their career as well. So to say that, you know, even Freddie Mercury was replaced, I think that would have perhaps brought up some, you know, bad memories about Bon Scott, but perhaps a little insensitive, Your Honour.
Yeah, no,
I completely disagree with what he said, and I think he doesn't know what he's talking about. So stick to the law books, mate.
Do you think that drummers need to make themselves more sort of indispensable in case, you know, of circumstances where they wish to have drugs or hire a hitman?
Yeah, look, he's a bit rock and roll, isn't he? Mm. Maybe that's part of his personality that kind of allows his drumming to have so much character too, I suppose.
Mm. What are you up to this weekend anyway, Dan?
I'm a little bit breathless because I was actually just practicing. I heard there's an opening in AC/DC.
Yeah!
I was hoping for a call, but no, I was just practicing. Yeah, that's what I'll be doing all weekend, but not hoping for the call, just trying to make myself sound as distinctive and indispensable as possible.
Who do you think is, like, the number one drummer, like, in drumming history, like, the number one drummer that you just couldn't drop from a band?
John Bonham from Led Zeppelin.
Mm. Yeah, right.
And
100%.
And in terms of your work on Ballpark Music, if there was, like, a track that you thought, oh, yeah, try dropping me now, like, you're totally, absolutely necessary on that track.
I don't know if it ever comes down to, like, skill, because I think, you know, you'll always find a drummer that can pretty much match the skill of, you know, any other track in the world. But take the Beatles, for instance. What Ringo did was not complex. It was always very simple, but, you know, no one would say that Ringo was dispensable or could be replaced. So I'm sure someone could do a cover of a Ballpark Music song on drums and do a dandy job.
No.
But, you know, there might just be a few little nuances, which is the same with every musician, I suppose.
Which track, if you had to name one?
I think Coming Down is a pretty great track because it's nice and simple and there's a lot of creative stuff studio-wise going on. And in the live set, I'd say Fence Sitter is a bit of a rip snorter track, but there's a lot of metal dudes out there who would be like, oh, pff, that's easy. But yeah.
All right. Well, let's put on Fence Sitter right now. Dan from Ballpark Music, thanks for chatting to us.
No worries.
Defending the honour of drummers. Oh, listen to this. Amazing.
Thanks, Dan.
Veronica, Lewis, Triple J.